This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.
All right, welcome back. Now, we are talking in general about antisocial behaviour of teenagers, particularly in certain areas. And you know, it is fair to say it happens more so in some areas. And it's all across the country, by the way, not just in Dublin. And what should be done about it? And who's responsible? Gavin Pepper, Councillor Gavin Pepper, who is from Finglas, where that sadly that tragedy happened only a few days ago, is saying that parents have to be responsible. They must take responsibility for the teenagers. Now, of course, the state should be doing more. The government should be doing more. The Garda Síochána, given the resources, should be doing more. But ultimately, the responsibility lies with the parents. The parents who know what their children are up to, but are doing absolutely nothing about it. Stay there, Gavin, if you can. Let me just go to Jackie as well, if I can. Jackie, hi, how are you?
The first point I'd make, and just because you had said someone had written up in about Gavin, isn't it amazing? People like Gavin and Maliki and yourself and others out there that do so much good. And then you have these gobshites coming in and trying to knock and call people far right and all the names under the sun. And I remember Gavin talking about this ages ago.
He talked to me on the radio about it ages ago, so yeah, that's how I know.
Yeah, exactly. So the other thing is, and I was listening to another radio station talking about this exact same thing, and this woman rang in and said how a teenager on a scrambler bike went across a pitch where there was 11-year-old kids playing a match, went straight across the pitch at ridiculous speed. So this is ongoing and all that. And there's a blind eye. And Maureen is right. Where did the stand down command come for, you know, you see guys on these e-bikes, you see guys cyclists with no lights, dressed in black, and nothing being done about it. Yet we have cars with daylight that come on when we go out. Mm-hmm. And yet, you're meeting all these people who are breaking the law and nothing being done about it. Where is the enforcement? What's happening here? And then you have all around the country, all the different Garda stations that are being actually locked up and abandoned. And, you know, all the local and, you know, guards that were...
Well, that's why I'm kind of slow to blame the guards for this. Yeah, and I want to blame the... No, I don't want to blame the guards per se, but the hierarchy within the Garda Síochána, yes, they should take the rap. I don't believe the rank and file, because I think they're under-resourced.
It's kind of easy to say that, but you can see where there's guys sitting in stations doing nothing, and they go for the easy fruit, the low-hanging fruit. And that's the likes of you or me or whatever. There needs to be checkpoints. There needs to be guys out.
But what? Okay. Well, so Garda A and Garda B are in a Garda car and they're doing a bit of, you know, recon. They're driving around the housing estate and they see Johnny Torag milling around, as you said, through 11-year-olds on a football pitch.
Yeah.
So what do they do? And this is a genuine question. What do they do?
But that is, you see, you know your job, I know my job, and the Gardaí are there to protect us. Well, now, that's what I always assume, is to protect the public. That's their duty, is to protect the citizens of this country.
And what about the responsibility of the parents of Johnny who milled across that field?
Oh, no, I agree totally.
Because he shouldn't be doing it in the first place. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Look, if I own a dog and that dog goes out and
bites somebody,
or bites someone, I am responsible and I have to pay for
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. That's what Gavin is saying. Now, if you own a kid and they go out and they harm somebody, 100%. Break a window, smash a house, rob a car, drive a scramble, whatever it is, you have to take responsibility as a parent because they can't.
Exactly.
They're kids.
And if my son goes somewhere, I will call him or he will call me to say where he is, what he's doing. I know exactly where he is at all times.
Okay, but that question comes up all that. Gavin, you've six kids. You're populating the world there, okay? You've six kids.
Fair play.
Yeah, good man, Gavin. So, Gavin, do you know where all your kids are at every moment?
Oh, 100%. Oh, 100%. Oh, 100%.
Because I got lambasted for saying this on the air last year, that I said I knew my three kids when they were younger, when they were kind of, you know, 15, 16, 14, whatever it was, that I knew exactly where they were all the time. People can say, no, you couldn't have known where they were all the time.
Well, I can tell you how much I know about my kids, right? My daughter would hang around. I treat teenagers in general. I know where they all are. I ring them constantly. And Laura's 17, and she'll be with her boyfriend, and I still know where they are. But Grace would be out with her friends, and they hang around in Lanesborough, and they hang out. So even the local guards were able to say, oh, your dad's Councillor Pepper. She goes, oh, no, he texted me now, asked me how. Because I know if they're up to something. I know where they are. And that's a parent's responsibility to know where your kids are. Absolutely. Now, it there's a difference with knowing where your kids are and being able to keep an eye on them 24/7. And that a lot of that has to do with upbringing. So you bring them up right to say, look, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do that. But one thing, Maureen, I have to agree with her on, and you spoke really well as well, that like, there is a breakdown in this. There is a failure in society a little bit in this. But when I mean more so with the laws and rules and stuff, like the antisocial behaviour in my area, it is a problem. We've brought it up many times. So, you know, we've safety forums regularly. There was cars getting broken into. There's groups of gangs and lads hanging around. And a lot of times they're not doing anything. But, you know, people really want to.
Yeah, it can be intimidating, yeah.
Yeah, but not for everyone, because they're actually good kids. I will always stick up for the kids in Finglas, because they've been at a disadvantaged area. They've been forgotten about for generations. So it's a generational thing. It's about opportunities. I want the kids in my area to get opportunities, the same opportunities that they get in other areas. And that takes investment. There's a lot of underinvestment in the area. Now, don't get me wrong, I'll be the first to say it here in Oil that I'm fighting for playgrounds, and then there was a playground burnt in the area. And I was the first councillor down there to highlight that. You know, like, so I don't hide out from it, and I say don't damage things in the area, because I'm fighting for them and then they come. So, but that's only a small minority that does it on the majority. Do you get what I mean?
No, I know.
And the majority shouldn't miss out because of that. But it's like I said, we've got loads of great centres. I mean, we've the Breuer Group, we've the Den, we've got, like, you know, we've
and I understand that. And by the way, they
do amazing services.
They do have a lot of centres and places, and a lot of it is in working class areas. But there used to be this argument years ago. I remember somebody saying to me, oh, the kids are bored, you got to give them something to do. And I'm going, what? Just give them something to do so they don't get into trouble. When I was a kid, we had a scouts den in Edenmore. Well, it wasn't even ours. It was belonged to Woodbine. It was up the road, right? It was a good bit up the road. That's all we had. We had nothing else. I still didn't go out and wreck the place and get bored.
But no, I'm saying, if you're from the dinosaur age, here's the most thing that has been a important thing that I actually, now that you said it, and now I can say it now, right? And when I was a kid, right, this is a big issue, and I brought it up hundreds of times and they ignore it. When I was a kid, we had proper summer camps. Now, when I say a summer camp, I mean from the beginning of summer, right? They took you off. You went to Bray one day. They took you to Clara Lara, the Sunshine House, yeah. Right? We were brought through canoeing through
Clara,
the whole summer.
Clara, I remember Clara Lara,
and,
yeah.
And Bertie Ahern was the Taoiseach at the time. He was in power. I remember that. He was there. So I remember that, right? And through the whole summer, we basketball teachers, we right through the whole summer, the whole 2 months, right? We air green across the road. There was never any kids on it because we were all brought off. Now the summer camps are 2 week things or 3 week things, and there's not enough investment in it. I'm not saying they're not doing them. I'm saying they're not doing enough. So that costs money. But let me tell you what you get back. If you invest in that and put it on for the whole summer, right? Drug dealers can't groom kids to sell for them because they're not on the street there to groom, right? You're reducing that. Another big issue in our community, and I'm on the sports committee, is cost, right? So I'm in a disadvantaged area. So if I have a high income job, I can afford to pay €50 a month for the football club or whatever it is, right, for my kid. A single mother or a low income on social welfare or low income struggles to pay that. Their kids are left out of that, and then they're hanging around on the street. We need to bring in proper ways to make it affordable for the kids to be able to enter into these sports clubs and be in the likes of the scout stands and be in the likes of the football and the boxing clubs. But that takes a government investment into it. And there doesn't seem to be real drive to do that. So what they end up doing then is when crime and antisocial behaviour grows in these communities, they use that. You read the Sunday World. You know, the Sunday World will report a crime in Finglas, but it won't report that the little kids won the World Championships in Florida in the dancing. They don't report that. They won't report Ireland's oil.
Yeah, I know. They always get the negative press, not the positive press.
And 99% of the things in our community are good. We think with walks and talks.
Okay, well, hang on. I have loads of people to get to. Sorry, Jackie, do you want to say anything else just before I come to Jessica?
No. Again, everything that Gavin is saying is right, but parents have to be held responsible.
Do you think they should be fined? Yeah, do you think parents should be fined?
They should be fined, yeah, because then they will take their finger out and start watching where their kids are. And the whatever should be confiscated, taken off them, the scramblers and that off them and fined at the same time. 100%.
Yeah, I think, by the way, in relation to on a slightly separate issue, I suppose, well, it is all connected. I think these scooters, there has to be an age limit of 18 on these scooters.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, it's common sense. Where has the common sense gone?
I think the Green Party are the ones responsible for pushing these scooters.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, well, stay there. Jessica, thank you, Jackie. Jessica, hi, how are you? Sorry for keeping you.
How are you, Niall?
How are you doing, Jessica? Jessica, who's responsible for badly behaved teenagers?
The parents.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are yours. They're your responsibility. If it goes wrong, it's on you. Like, it's fairly clear cut, if you ask me.
Well, it's not as clear cut as you're making it out to be, and as I make it out to be, because some parents will argue with me.
But any good parent will know what their kids are doing, if
Johnny Parent says, listen, I have four kids, you know, three of them are upstanding members of the community, doing great in school, but this one lad, he's just hanging around with the wrong people, he climbs out the window when we try to ground him.
All that is just textbook lazy excuses to me. Oh, well, I tried everything, we couldn't do anything. He or she is out of control. Well, then you get control because you're the parent. If you have an out-of-control dog, what do? You train it. If you have an out-of-control child, you get a handle on the situation. If you don't, then guess what? Prepare to get fined. Prepare to have your bank account eaten. And you know what? You fully deserve it. If you're letting your little Johnny or your little Sarah or whatever go around wrecking the gaff, no, you deserve to be punished.
Because
they're your responsibility. That's what building, I know it's a side of the thing as well, building a biking track. These are the same kids who will have no problem burning down AstroTurf, burning down playgrounds. You think they're going to care that they have a biking track now? No. So just wreck it as usual. And a biking track, building it, is basically the same as building the injection centres. Yeah, go here and do your illegal activities. We'll turn a blind eye to it.
Well, now, I would like to think if it was, or something like that was built, it would be run better than that. You know, it's not going to be just a free-for-all. You know what I mean?
I grew up in that area, Niall, for years. I know what they're like. I grew up around these people. They don't care.
When you say you've grown up around these people, what do you mean? People of Inglis? Most of the people of Inglis are good people.
I'm from Inglis South, and don't get me wrong, but if you were to ask me, I think the minority are good people. That's just from my experience growing up there.
No, hold on. The majority of people in Finglas South are good people. Not the minority. The majority of people in Finglas South are good people.
Yeah, but I just said in my experience, okay? I just said in my experience.
I'm fully active in my community, and the majority of people in Finglas are very good people, and the amount of people that do help the community.
That's why the loads of uprows poisoning the area.
Uprows, so this is a stereotypical thing. Uprows, teenagers that go around and hang around.
Well,
99% of the Canada Goose Jackets and Montclair Jackets, they're actually fake born Cusadassi and Torquay, and just because they're wearing the jacket doesn't make them bad kids. Picture them, but they see them. People in suits destroyed Ireland, not people in track suits. People in suits make the decisions that affect the country. Okay. Well, you're picking on every single teenager, so you're wrong. Anyway, one thing I'm going to say,
to defend Jessica's argument somewhat, Gavin, and I'm not completely agreeing what she said, but if my kid wanted to dress the way people who are perceived or stereotyped to be behaved badly, dressed, or wanted a haircut. You know that years ago, that scut cut. You know, if my 9-year or 10-year-old says, I want a scut cut, he wouldn't be getting it. If he said to me, I want one of those roadman jackets, what's those ones with the padding on them that look like bubbles? I want one of them jackets to so I can fit in with me pals. I'm saying, I'm not getting one because I know what my kid looking like, you know, the stereotypical
that's
lunatic.
Another thing as well, the peer pressure, like, oh, I need to look, I need to have this jacket, I need to have this bike, I need to do this, I need to do that. All this peer pressure, it's a load of me backside. Just do it, just do it, have a decent thing, be a good parent, know where your kids are, don't let them get into trouble. If they're in with the wrong crowd, get them out of the crowd. Why is it so hard for parents to actually do their job and be a parent? It actually amazes me. Mm. It bewilders me.
Yeah. Gavin, just to respond to that, you know, I don't care if the jackets are coming from Kudazaki or wherever they're coming from. It's irrelevant. It's, no, your kid no, wants to look like the rest of them.
There's no such thing as a bad
kid. Hang on, Jessica.
There's no such thing as a bad kid. It's the environment that brought up him. Now, picking on kids because of what they wear, right? But my son wears a North Face jacket that I purchased, which are not cheap. You get them in JD Sports. And he can wear that. That doesn't make him a scumbag. That doesn't make my son. My son's a good kid that does well in school. My daughters wear them. They wear the yellow suits. They're fake, by the way, the yellow, because the real ones are real expensive. If you go around in a Ralph Lauren top, does that mean society will see you as a better person? That's just looking down on people, you know? I will always disagree with these things because, you know, we have... you know, Mrs.
Yeah,
Brown's boy is an example.
No,
it's how they're brought up. It's a society. I don't believe that you're from Finglas South. But you're putting down your whole community. So yeah, put yeah, I doubt it very much. You're putting down the whole community. I know Capure very well, and 99% of the people in Capure Park are lovely people. So you're wrong when you said the minority. Now you're really wrong. So
I literally said in my experience, but you know what, fine, whatever you want to hear, what you want to hear.
I'm down dealing with people all the time. Yeah, and they're good people. Yeah, 99% of the people are lovely.
Wrong.
Yeah. 99% of the people in my community are good people, and I will always stick up for them.
Yeah,
and it's a small minority.
That. You keep believing that.
Well, I do believe that. So you wouldn't say Finglas is a disadvantaged area, would you?
I would say it is, yes.
Okay, and why would you say it's a disadvantaged area? So who's at fault that Finglas is a disadvantaged area? Is that the people of Finglas' fault?
I don't know. I'd say it's the government.
Let me just interject. Gavin, I don't think it's anybody's fault in particular when an area becomes a disadvantaged area. I think it's a combination of a lot of factors. I think it's a combination of social class. I think it's a combination of overpopulation. I think it's bad planning by the county councils in relation to housing. I think there's a huge combination of factors that can make an area at a time. And by the way, it doesn't remain that way because obviously it's generational. You know, young people grow up and you said, what happens is, and I said this to somebody before, if you buy a house in a brand new housing estate, and it's a large housing estate, say with 10,000 houses or something, right? Let's just say, for example, and they're all new houses. The majority of the people that move into those new houses will be young couples, right? First time buyers, et cetera, right? If they're reasonably priced even if they're social housing, okay, they're going to be young couples. They're all going to have kids in and around the same time. All of those kids will grow up in and around the same time. In 14 years' time, you're going to have a large population of 13 and 14-year-olds. There's going to be a percentage of those who are going to cause problems and bring the whole area down. After another 20 years, they'll go up, move out, and the area changes and becomes a bit more mature again. That's usually what happens when we have a situation where you call it a disadvantaged area. It's that period of time where there's an awful lot of teenagers causing an awful lot of problems.
But Noel, look, what I was trying to point out here was, you take the show, and I'm not picking on a particular show, but you just Mrs. Brown's Boys for an answer, right? People watch programmes that always seem to target working class communities, like they slag their own. Now, you've seen me do videos where I make fun of the people in the upper class areas, but I'm saying, it won't happen over here. And when I do that, they take massive offence to that. Right, and that goes to show that classism still goes on big time in our communities.
Don't get me wrong, Gavin. When you do that impression of the upper class Dublin 4, I think it's hilariously. But
you know what I mean? Not my community. It won't happen over here.
But stay there for a second because I've loads of people to get to that. I want to bring Angela in as well.
I wanted to point one thing out, Noel, in general, right? As I said, it's the investment that is put into an area that has affected it.
But there's a limited amount of investment. You don't have to put the same investment into every area, and I get that. I understand that, because you've larger populations too. But, I mean, the argument against that is there are some areas of Dublin and around the country where the same investment hasn't been and we don't see the same problems.
Well, Charlotte Street has had an awful lot of investment in it, and it has made a big impact on it. You know?
Okay, well, hang on. Let me go to Angela. Angela, hi, how are you?
Good. Listen, just before we go any further here, I have two things to say to Gavin there, and I'd like a massive apology from him. Just because Jeff disagreed with you, you called her a liar.
What are you talking about? So you're coming into the fence, a person. I said that 99% of people in my community are
Hang on. If we could all calm down for a second. Angela.
Okay. Let me finish my question.
No. Hang on. If we could all calm down for a second. Jessica said it was her observation. Her personal observation of where she lived.
That
the majority of people she believed were bad people, or whatever the word she used in English.
Or you disagree with that.
He said, I don't believe that you grew up in Finglas.
And then she said she did. So look at the thing, they can argue that all they want. But on the point Jessica said, I don't agree with Jessica either. Jessica's allowed to have her opinion and her observations.
Absolutely.
But I don't believe for 1 minute the vast majority of people in any area are bad people. I believe the vast majority are good people all over the country.
Don't turn around and say that she didn't grow up there when she did.
No, she did. She told me that she grew up in a
Okay.
If you were listening to the whole thing, she said I lived in Capua Park, and I know it well. So I did, yeah, so I didn't.
Okay, can we move on?
And another thing, yeah, we will, but just one other
thing. No, other thing for a second, Gavin. I'm running out of time, Robin.
This is Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan, the podcast.
From Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.